Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, February the 23rd, 2026. 2:23:26, 12 and a half, coming up on 13 minutes past the hour on this Monday morning. Kind of a cold and chilly and snowy Monday morning. Now, I don't think we got a whole lot of accumulation in this area. Maybe an inch and a half. Somewhere in that area, although it is drifting in certain areas. Not a big drift like we had a few weeks ago, but somewhat of a drift in certain areas. The roads are slick this morning, though. That snow is freezing, and as it melts, it is becoming very slick. So if you are on the roads, be very, very, very careful. It can be very treacherous out there this morning. And I did not see a whole lot of the salt trucks out this morning. In the recent storm we had back in January, I saw a lot of salt trucks out very early in that storm. I don't know if this one caught people a little off kilter or off guard, but not as many salt trucks this morning, but I'm sure they're out there doing their best. Another one of those winter storms. You know, I was thinking that this has been a real Ohio winter. I don't know that we have had what you would call a real Ohio winter in quite some time, but I am happy to report that here in the studio, it is the perfect temperature of 73.8 degrees. 73.8 degrees here in the studio at WGH Talk. So if nothing else this morning, if nothing else to be happy about, we can be happy that it's nearly 74 degrees in the studio, unlike the 90 degree morning we had back in January, I believe that was. It was January or late December, I can't remember now. I don't think it's ever been cool in here. I don't think we've ever had a morning where it was, you know, 55, 60 degrees in here. So we'll take 73.8 on this kind of cold and chilly morning. And again, be careful if you're out there on the roads trying to stop quickly or stop at a stop sign or stop light is a little treacherous this morning. So a little bit of driving on snow tips here this morning as we kick off the big Monday morning program. You know, last Monday was President's Day, so a lot of people had a three-day weekend. Schools had a three-day weekend. Federal employees had a three-day weekend. Usually government officials get a three-day weekend. So now that we're all back to work, I don't know that everybody went back to work this morning. I know some of the schools certainly are on delay and have canceled because of the weather, but here we are. It is Monday, and we will truck along and continue down the road. Well, there was a lot of interesting news over the weekend. You know, the news cycle here in Marion just doesn't seem to stop at this particular point. I don't know why that is. I don't know why we have been caught in such a news cycle as of late, but it just seems as soon as one story starts to calm down, here comes another story flying down the highway. We don't seem to get away from these stories, and it's just one after another. I mean, we have had stories here in Marion before, but I think the fact that they come one after another now is what is a little different than maybe in past situations. And we'll get to those stories as the morning goes along. And by the way, we should mention that tonight there will be a full city council meeting at 6:30 p.m. I believe Adam had it on the news there, so that is always important to listen and look out for. 6:30 tonight, second floor of City Hall, and unless something happens, we will be there covering that, so that will be something I'm sure we'll have to talk about tomorrow morning, especially with the big topic tonight, I would guess being the elimination of the tax credit for people who work outside the city of Marion. I would imagine that'll be the big topic tonight, but I guess we will see how things progress as we go on down the road here. Interesting times. We've got the big stories that tend to make the Columbus news, the Central Ohio news, and then we've got the stories that are more localized, as that one would be. You know what? I'm going to take a quick break here and come back right after this break with more of the Monday morning program here on WGH Talk. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
We're having fun every day on Now with Scott Spears. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there, how are you? Scott Spears, Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Friday.
And we're back here 19 minutes past the hour on this Monday morning. You know, one of the interesting conversations that we had last week on the program, and boy, it continues on in the media, is should the name of Les Wexner be taken off some of the buildings that are named for him in Columbus, Ohio? And I believe there were some protests, I don't know what you call them at this point. I guess they're protests, peaceful protests, that were held yesterday by people who want his name to come off of these buildings. Now, there are many schools of thought on this. Has Les Wexner committed a crime? If the building should have his name taken off of it, should the organization that he gave money to have to give back the money? That's certainly what a lot of the politicians did who took money from Les Wexner. So I don't know. I think that's a very interesting subject. And I think as time goes along, that's going to become more and more complicated. Because a lot of people watched that testimony that Les Wexner gave last week to Congress. And they really dissected it. A matter of fact, yesterday's Columbus Dispatch was pretty much wrapped with a picture of Les Wexner giving his deposition last week, and really went through how he answered certain things, and I don't know. I don't know if he can survive this scrutiny at this point, and maybe he shouldn't. I don't know. It is very clear that he gave Jeffrey Epstein a lot of money. I don't think he denies that at all. But I don't know if we know that he committed any crimes. We certainly know that Epstein committed crimes, but I don't know if we know that he committed any crimes. If anybody has any thoughts on it, give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz and we can discuss whatever is on your mind. I think another story coming out of Friday here at the station was we've got this whole, you just have to call it a kerfluffle at this point, between some organizations here in Marion. We'll come back to this momentarily. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
You know, I'm good. It was a little rough coming in. The roads are not great, but other than that, okay.
I reckon you have a trip clear across the county at the early hour before everybody's been out to clean the roads off ahead of you.
I do. It was interesting because I don't think any more than an inch and a half fell, but it is drifting, and I don't want people to get the idea that there are big drifts because it's not a lot of snow, but the roads are certainly covered. 95 was still pretty treacherous this morning.
Yeah, it's pretty slushy. I've been out and back. I have a 4x4, so it's a little different. But even I was taking the corners a little slow. So as long as people are careful, I think we'll be okay, especially since we've got, 8 weeks of winter driving under our belts already this year?
I think this has been an old-fashioned Ohio winter, as the old Farmer's Almanac predicted. I think they got it right this year.
We went to New Orleans for Christmas. On December 28th, we started driving back, and it was a two-day trip. We made it to Kentucky, and we stopped. And it started snowing, and that was about 9 o'clock on December 28th. And we left December 29th. We were actually going to hang out an extra day in Kentucky and come home the 30th, but with the way the snow was coming down, we decided just to head home. And since December 28th until, Friday, Thursday, when all of the snow was gone, we've had snow on the ground every single day.
Well, and remember, we had the snowstorm back in December before Christmas, because I remember on that Saturday that it hit being out Christmas shopping. I think that did melt before Christmas because we had a pretty warm Christmas. But we had that storm. That was somewhere in the middle of December.
Yeah, we had snow before Christmas, and it warmed up at Christmas because we had unseasonably warm. Because we left town, anytime we leave town, it gets really warm here when we're chasing warm weather. So you're welcome. But when we came back, apparently we brought the Louisiana snow with us. I don't know, but we've had snow for 6-7 weeks. Then I thought to myself Friday, I was like, Naomi, that's what your grass and sidewalk looks like. I wonder what it would look like covered with another inch and a half of snow, just for fun. And here it is. So the stick of the snow.
Here it is.
But, all hell's breaking loose in the city and county, but Wexner, did you hear his lawyer? I didn't watch it all because he testified for 5 hours, but did you hear his lawyer tell him that he would effing kill him if he answered a question with more than 5 words again?
Well, I saw this. Now, this is a video that has been posted, and it shows Wexner's lawyer leaning in, and that's what they're saying he's saying. Honestly, could you make it out?
I didn't make it out, but the people that went back and have, done the transcript of the deposition, because on those court recorder microphones, and you go back and listen to something, you can hear a lot more than what's picked up at the moment, because they can pick up sniffles. So they picked that up, and he was implicating Google, the guy that founded Google, and Bezos, and Microsoft guy, Bill Gates. I mean, he's putting all kinds of names out there, and his lawyer is like, shut up. And far as you said, do we know if he committed a crime? No, we don't. And with what we're living with up here right now, we can't go around just accusing him, because it seems more likely than not, but we don't have proof. And the guy's due process. However, that doesn't mean people have to continue to take money from him, or we have to have his name splashed all over buildings. But Wexner's going to be just fine. What is he, 163 years old and got a gajillion dollars?
He'll be fine. 88. But you know what's interesting is that, I think this is how the system is supposed to play out. He showed up. He did what he was supposed
to. It took him a year of fighting that subpoena to show up, though, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but I think that's probably
that's
the process.
That's not how it's supposed to work out. If there was a nothing sandwich, he just should just sat down and gave his deposition.
Well, when I say this is how it's supposed to play out, if somebody is implicated in doing something you don't like, you are free to protest that their names come off buildings.
Right.
When they finally speak, it's their prerogative to say what they want, and hopefully they don't perjure themselves. And
thought on that is just that he's gotten by. This is my perception of it. He's gotten by. He's had so much money and gotten by with so much in life that even in that testimony, he was very cavalier. He giggled quite a bit. He would, like, they would ask him a question, and then he would repeat it, and he would be like, oh.
And well, yeah, an yeah, and well, the demeanor was, and I think that's why the Dispatch did a whole thing on him yesterday. But you know, once he speaks, then people can critique that, which is what organizations like the Dispatch are doing, and so on and so forth. And then based on that, as the people were out protesting yesterday again, as long as it's peaceful, they want the names off the building. I think this is how the process is supposed to happen.
Yes.
And
it should have just happened much sooner. How's that?
Yeah. Well, and now the people who make the decisions in regard to those buildings will have to decide. But I think it is a much more complicated and nuanced decision because you've got a guy, and yes, he's certainly associated with bad people, and I think that he admits that. I mean, I think
he's now become controversial after paying a gajillion dollars to name those buildings. Well, I mean, he was slightly controversial before, but he's really flared.
But this is the question we kind of got into Friday night. And it's, okay, let's say, what is it about somebody's personality that you could associate with a horrible person, but still have a lot of people like you, and yet you give more than anybody in the history of Ohio to philanthropic organizations and help a lot of people leading up to that, at the same time you're dealing with such horrible people? I mean, that's an interesting personality trait.
So now if he hadn't buffered dealing with horrible people by donating and being so philanthropic, would we be having the same conversation about, you know what I mean? Like, if he hadn't given billions of dollars or how much ever, would we be saying, well, maybe we need to slow down and think about this? I'm playing devil's advocate here now because I think he gave the billions of dollars to ease his conscience about what was going on. But that's, you know, that's just commentary. That's not fact. But would we feel differently if he hadn't, like, if he was just an Epstein billionaire, let's say, that hadn't given away so much wealth, and we just saw him as a rich person and not a philanthropic rich person, would we feel the same about him? Or do we feel...
Well, and I think
do we have a warmer feeling because he has given so much money?
Well, and I think that's the complicated question here, and I think that's the question everybody is dealing with, is if the man has not committed a crime, is there a need to take his name off the buildings?
I mean, in the scheme of things, didn't he pay to put his name up there?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if there was a deal laid out, or I don't know.
Well, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to call it like a naming rights, but if you guarantee to give $25 million, we guarantee, well, more than that, if you guarantee to give $200 million, we'll name the place after you, kind of thing.
Well, you know,
so
what
you already
this...
gave the $200 million. Can you really take my name off of it?
Well, here's what's interesting to me, because
I'm not saying we shouldn't. If he's connected to this, his name should come down, but I'm just saying, boy, we like to jump the gun these days, don't we?
Well, here's the thing, and it's not exactly in the vein of what Les Wexner has been accused of doing, although, again, nothing illegal, but there are two other things that strike me, and we talked a little bit about them on Friday. Number one, the interview I did with Gordon Gee. Now, he got a lot of backlash in that interview for defending Les Wexner. Now, Les Wexner's his friend, and I don't think there's any connection that Gordon Gee knew Jeffrey Epstein or anything of that.
I don't think Gee was on Epstein's Island.
No, but yet, people... Even though Gee answered the question the way he wanted to, people still think, well, he knew more, he knows more than he's letting on, and, you know, how can you defend a horrible person? Well, would you just rather he didn't answer the question at all? Would you rather that he just ignored the media? Because I don't like when people do that. Now, the media is not truth serum, but he answered the question. I mean, he didn't say it, don't ask me about that. So I wonder about...
I mean, he answered it truthfully. He answered it what he thought. He didn't answer with some canned response about, well, I knew him back before he was who he is now, and, you know, all of that stuff. He gave his true feelings on the situation.
Right, and also, but I do understand the people who do think he knows more, and they don't like Gee for other reasons.
I think he knows I don't like him for the Ohio State wrestling situation.
Well, and that's an interesting one. I mean, you got to go down the road there. You guys, well, he did not say don't ask him about that. He gave the answer that he wanted to give. And
he also gave the canned, I don't talk about ongoing litigation, but that's what you're supposed to say.
Right, but he did say, I didn't know anything about it, and my office shows that.
Scott, I love you, and I think you're a cool guy, and I consider you a journalist, but I don't think that you asking Gordon Gee whether or not he knew anything about it was going to be the final time that broke him, and he admitted it.
No, I don't think that...
You've got some skills, man, but I don't think they're quite that good.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't think anybody could do it, to be honest with you.
That's his story, and he's sticking to it.
That's his story, but I think that I guess...
Nothing wrong with asking, though.
No, but
that still shows him that there's an interest among the public about that topic.
I think he did not say... I'm not going to talk about this. He did not say, I'm not going to do any interviews, and he did not get angry for it being asked. And he didn't say, well, I'm just not going to talk about that. He did.
Right.
He said, I didn't watch the documentary. If I had known something, I would have done something about it. My records clearly indicate that I didn't know anything about it. And more than that, I can't say because it's an ongoing legal matter. So
I know he's not a politician, but he is sort of being in the public eye and being, you know, head of a university. I know he's not anymore, but that's still what I associate him with. But he's a good politician. That was an interview. I don't like the guy, but I was able to sit there and listen to that interview. And, yeah, I disagreed and grunted and yelled a few times, but there were some things that I agreed with that he said also. But he was polished enough and respectful enough of you and et cetera that I was able to listen to that interview and not turn the channel.
Well,
you know,
and
I mean, like he could answer the questions and not answer them professionally. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, but I also think that the opinions that people have after hearing that interview are also valid. I mean, that's what an interview is supposed to do. You hear what somebody has to say. It reminds me of the days when talk shows were issue-oriented, and they would have a group on, like, Donahue and Oprah and all those people used to have, like, the Ku Klux Klan on.
Right.
Now, they didn't have them on because they wanted people to join. They had them on because they wanted to ask them questions, and then you, the audience, can make your own decision about this group based upon...
information.
Yeah, what you're hearing. And that's what the Gordon Gee interview was. And I look at politicians here locally. That's why I'll give Twyla Lang a lot of credit last Friday. No matter what she said, she came on.
She came on. You know what? I'm going to give her some credit, too, because that's more than any of her other buddies have done. So she does deserve a gold star for that, and I'm not saying that to be sarcastic. Maybe they should take a note from her. And, you know, even though I didn't like what she had to say, I still listened to everything she had to say because she had a totally different tone and approach than what she normally does.
Right, and again...
That made that tolerable.
Yeah, and I think that's telling. And I think that will lead to some questions that might happen tonight. But then the other discussion, because this was the big discussion, I think we did this Friday, but the Facebook Live I did on Saturday night was almost all about this, is the race in the 86th district.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because apparently there was a dust-up there because apparently Ben Weber in the primary made some remarks. I did not see the article, but it was referenced on social media. And apparently Ben Weber made some remarks about where Weslyn Davis's money was coming from. And I guess he said something, it was... I forget what he called it, a shell organization or something like that. And she got upset about it, and she went after him and said... Well, and she got upset and said that it wasn't, and said what it was and why it was named differently. It was named for, I think, her kids, is what she said. And, boy, I hope I'm getting that right. I didn't...
What is she doing? Is she loaning herself some more money? She's just getting all the money from herself? Is that what she's doing?
Well, I think Ben had just essentially attacked her on it, and then she attacked him on getting money from PAC groups. And, you know...
Wouldn't it be nice if one of them were like, hey, your guys' electric bills are outrageous. Hey, your guys' property taxes went up 35 to 50%. Hey, you guys are in fiscal caution. This is what, as your representative, I'm going to do to help you. all of these, I mean, all these people up here in Marion are fighting over, oh, we're going to vote for Ben, we're going to vote for Wesleyan. You know what? I'm not really sure either of them care about us. They're really more concerned about the border south, Union County, because I don't see them up here doing many appearances or holding many quote-unquote rallies. Do you?
Well, no, but what I thought was interesting about that was, again, we're talking about money, and it is different situational, but the Wexner case comes down to money. The Gordon Gee thing, the Gordon Gee thing, a lot of cases comes down to lawsuits and money.
Because that's the only justice those people can get right now.
Well, but and in politics, this Wesleyan Davis Ben Weber thing comes down to money. Where's the money coming from? Where are you getting your money?
All evil.
So I think it's in a lot of cases, not just the Wexner one. And so I don't know. I look at all these stories. I certainly think they're newsworthy stories, but I don't know if anybody's truly got the answers to them. I don't know if the name should come off the buildings. I don't know. It's a different story. It's a different time, that's for sure.
Well, there's a rapper. His name was Notorious B.I.G., and he died back in the 90s. You probably remember.
I do remember that.
Yep. Shout out to all my dead homies. But he had a song. It was called "Mo Money, Mo Problems," and that seems to be the case, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Now, I do have an interesting question, because I don't think you were around for this conversation on Friday, and I, you know, don't necessarily want to chew the same food again, but this also became an interesting conversation on the Facebook Live on Friday night. Now, on Thursday, Ray Grogan endorsed Wesleyan Davis. Or I think it became public. And the question was, is that an endorsement you want at this point? Because I was saying, Wesleyan, she's a very hardworking,
driven
person who usually has very good timing in these matters. And
well, she came up here and stuck her nose in a third ward council race that's probably coming back to bite her in the behind.
Well, we'll find out on May the 5th.
Because, you know what, I typically am not a Republican voter. Now, obviously, Jason Schauber is drawing me to the ballot. But you know what, I will be voting for Ben Weber because I'm drawing a Republican ballot.
Well, it's just interesting to me.
I wouldn't have cared before, Scott. I wouldn't have cared. I probably would have randomly picked a name or skipped it. But because she did that, she motivated me, at least one person, and my significant other and my neighbors. She motivated some of us to get up off our behinds and go pull a Republican ballot and vote against her.
Well, that's interesting, because what I'm thinking is
I would have skipped that race. I would not have cared, because I wouldn't have cared about either one of them. But I want to at least do my part to make sure she doesn't get in there, and my part is voting no.
Well, as I said on the Facebook Live on Saturday night, I said it's very interesting, because I think this race is coming down to, not that Ben Weber is not working hard, but I think it's coming down to Wesleyan Davis's likability. Is she likable enough amongst people to get this spot? Because the Tracy Richardson group, the lady who currently holds this seat, does not like her. She's not a fan of hers.
Has she endorsed Ben, or are they not doing that?
She has not endorsed anybody, and I think that's a big question if she will or not. But Wesleyan has said that Tracy does not like her because of the primary they went through the last time around. And now it's getting a little rough in that race with her and Ben going back and forth on the money. So it can only get worse from here.
Is there any polling on that race?
You know, I haven't seen it. I think polling on those races is kind of hard, to be honest with you. But
yeah, since it's like a county and a half, I mean, how do you poll?
It gets a little difficult. So, you know, that's...
Who raised the most money then? How's that?
I still think it's her. But I think hers...
Is half of it from herself?
Well, yes, I think her claim, and I'm not doubting it, is that it's a loan. She's self-funded, I think,
I don't mean it that way. I mean, his are donations from other people. Hers is a donation from herself that she has to pay back.
Right. But you know what's interesting? That's why I look at the Grogan endorsement, and I say, now, I wonder if that's a good thing, only because of the story we haven't talked about, which is the kerfluffle that continues with the sheriff's office and Grogan and the police officer.
He's getting the endorsement of city council was a good thing. And from what I've heard, there's some kind of something, of, it's a joke, but like selling slaps for city council or something like that. It's a meme. It's a video somebody made, and they're joking. They're talking about how to raise money for their town, and they're like, maybe you could let city council volunteer to take slaps from the public. And next thing you know, there's like a line of thousands of people. And so apparently that hit one of the local gossip pages, and people were joking about that. So I'm not so sure that it, because talking about how basically, you know, they're pledging their income tax to go smack city council members. Now, I'm not, they're not worth paying to pit. I'll do that verbally for free. But I'm not sure that the city council endorsement is exactly what she wanted either, considering the fact she's just so hungry for attention and approval that she'll take it from anyone, and it might come back to bite her in the behind.
Well, it's also interesting to me. I saw this weekend that Kevin Davidson, county commissioner, endorsed her, but Mark Davis endorsed Ben Weber. So this is a very divided Republican Party, is what I've learned.
I think it's great. I love watching them eat their own. But let's hear your take on the Grogan and the bail thing, because you're amongst the people. You're out there getting their feedback.
For people who are not aware, I mean, obviously, I think we all know now.
If you're under a rock.
If you're under a rock. But I think people are aware that obviously we had a Marion police officer who was accused of rape. And
he's been bailed out of jail, and his hearing is March 7th, for the record.
There we go. So the sheriff and the prosecutor said that they were not going to recuse themselves from this case. Well, they weren't asked in the beginning. They were going to investigate it. And then Spitzer last week, the attorney for the police officer who's accused of rape, he came out and he released text messages, and he said that the sheriff should recuse himself. And the sheriff
He told everybody to slow up and that everybody should recuse themselves if they wanted to seem fair.
And this is what the sheriff said Friday, because I don't think I've read this.
There was a prosecutor with the police officer that night, so that's why we were taking Ray out of the equation, because he shouldn't be questioning someone in his own office.
And he hasn't said anything yet. But
I can't believe the way they've taken to social media. Can you? I mean, these are our elected officials, and they're actually fighting with people on the internet.
Well, I'm going to get to that. I want to talk about that in just a second, but here's a statement Bales sent out on Friday. He said, I would like to address a few issues in reference to the Brendan Dameron case. His attorney, Joel Spitzer, sent me an email asking that we recuse our office from the case. We will not be doing that. The crime happened in Marion County in our jurisdiction. The detectives working on the case have over 40 years experience between them and have no ties to the Marion Police Department. I have the utmost trust in their abilities, and the investigation is well underway. Mr. Spitzer has already involved the media in this case by releasing a few of the many text messages between the suspect and the victim, some of which are taken or can be taken out of context unless you know the rest of the messages and the reasons or information behind them. In my opinion, this is a clear attempt to victim blame and to pass the blame on to the victim in this case, which frankly disgusts me. No means no. I hear that all the time from rape victims, that rape victims are afraid to come forward because they are afraid of something like this happening. I am immensely proud of the victim in this case for coming forward and the courage she showed by doing this. Between his involvement with the media and the fact that I got the recusal request from Mr. Spitzer at approximately 9:30 at night, and by the time I woke up in the morning, it was already on social media, it is obvious to me that Mr. Spitzer is attempting to try this case in the press and social media. I ask him not.
I will too.
Well, I ask him not to do this and allow 12 jury members in Marion, Ohio, to hear all the evidence and decide based on that. So that came from the sheriff on Friday. Now, here's the thing.
Do what he would ask Spitzer not to do.
Well, yeah, and I think that is the irony in this.
Okay,
and
I want to just read my comment on that. I said all rape allegations should be investigated. The investigation is the part y'all seem to struggle with. It's sad that our prosecutor has put the community in the position to doubt these serious allegations that come from his office. Fool us once, shame on you. Fool us twice, shame on us. So in order to remove all doubt and public distrust in this very serious matter, recuse yourselves and remove all appearance of impropriety. Boom.
Right. Well, I think the
Now it's a flex.
Well, me being out amongst the people, here's what the people are saying. They were kind of taken aback when the sheriff said, "This disgusts me," in the press release. Because
how can he say he's read all the texts? Because what I learned in the Ayers Ratliff thing is there's a whole lot of stuff going on your phone that can be deleted or whatever and isn't recovered until somebody does this extraction report on it. So he hasn't read all of the evidence either because it hasn't been gathered or analyzed.
Well, I don't know what the war of the press releases is, and I think this is bad for everybody. I think that...
I think it's helped this police officer.
Well, I don't know, because in the end, apparently the sheriff's office is not going to recuse themselves. I haven't heard anything from...
All they've done is muddied the waters now for the whole entire county, and what does that do to this case?
Well, but I'll tell you, rape's a tough one. Rape is a tough one. And
in comment sections on rape cases, aren't they normally hang them high and put them under the jail and cut as you know what off?
Yeah. People do not like rape. Yeah.
Yes. And now, are these comment sections going entirely differently than normal rape section comment sections normally go?
Well, I think part of that is because...
the Ratliff case.
Yeah. Well, it's that, and I think there is a distrust right now that Spitzer has helped creating by sending out the statements that he made last week. So,
if they're true, does that man deserve to have another 2 years of his life stolen from him the way Ayers Ratliff did?
Well, no. I don't think anybody who's innocent should be...
But Greg Rogan has the power to hold... I mean, Heidi Ratliff has still got charges hanging over her on a crime that was said didn't happen by a jury, but Ray still got felonies hanging over her. So, I mean, if it takes defense attorneys coming out swinging on our sheriff and our prosecutor, we actually all should take note of that defense attorneys are willing to do that, because normally you don't hear anything from them, because normally their client's guilty as hell and they're trying to figure out how to get them a good deal.
Spitzer's
coming out day one.
Right,
but put it all out there.
But also, you know...
How often does this happen, Spears? I mean, in all your years of covering the media, how often have you seen a defense attorney come out before a grand jury indictment even happens, saying, no, we need to take a look at all this evidence first?
Well, that's true. It doesn't happen a lot, but what is troubling about the Spitzer thing, and maybe it is just because he's on vacation with his family out of the country, he personally is not doing a lot of speaking about it. And this comes back to the war of the press releases.
I believe being out of the country alleviates you from having to...
If he comes back and speaks, I give it a pass on all this. But, you know, I think that's part of the problem. I think when the sheriff releases a statement like this and then he's not willing to speak because he feels that feeds into exactly what he's saying we shouldn't do,
Didn't they release the video first? Shouldn't maybe him and Grogan stay the heck off social media? If they don't want this stuff tried on social media, they clearly learned zero from the Ratliff trial. Zero. They learned nothing.
Well,
they took to social media with their little video first.
That is true. Spitzer, that is true.
Yes, and then Spitzer came out and said, hold up with your videos.
Right.
Here's some truth.
And it would be interesting to hear from Spitzer's point of view, because I doubt the victim or the alleged the cop. I don't think I certainly don't think the victim's going to be talking. I guess is what I'm trying to say here. The victim's not going to be talking, and the accused is not going to be talking.
Right.
I would highly doubt that. But it would be interesting to hear Spitzer say these things in a little more depth at this point, since he is willing to talk about them clearly, because I think that's where
he commented on Bales's page, on Bales's comment.
Well, see, that to me was, now he's out of the country, but he certainly fired back quick within hours on
the sheriff. Everybody and their brother was tagging him, right?
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
I made one comment and just sat back and watched. I mean, it was I don't care for the sheriff either, so it was fun to just watch them have them on their heels. I mean, and this is knee-jerk. This is not the way our, especially law enforcement officials, should be behaving to release statements like this. I mean, I'm assuming Ray had to approve it because it's his
Well, he didn't get involved in this one, oddly enough.
So he's the statutory attorney for the sheriff. You think the sheriff would go do something like this and not run it past his buddy Ray?
No, but I...
They are personal friends. I have pictures of them.
Right.
And McDonald. They are all personal friends.
Well, that's...
For them to say that they don't have connections amongst themselves is also a load of crap.
Well, that's...
What they're expecting us to believe is the infuriating
part. Yeah, but that's what is so strange about this, is he did not put his name on it. He did not say he would not recuse himself. The sheriff was certainly speaking only for himself in that press release. And that's a little odd. And also, this is so intertwined. It goes back to, with all that news going on at the time, is this the person within days that you want endorsing you? You know,
exactly.
It's just all...
That goes back to my point that she'll take anyone's endorsement because she wants to be popular and liked, and if Ray Grogan can bring his committed 6 voters that are left to vote for her, then that'll counteract the 6 people that I've gathered to vote against her.
Yeah, but the question is, just based alone on that, will there be people who vote against her because he has endorsed her?
There might be people that don't vote at all because he endorsed her.
I don't know. That's what I'm
in
just...
that race. I don't mean at all, but I mean they might not. Because I would have skipped that race until. I would have just... I go vote frequently, and if I don't know enough or care enough about that race, I mean, if it's 2 Republicans, I don't typically pick. I'm going to vote for Jason, and her name's just going to happen to be on that ballot, too, and I'm going to pick the person that isn't her. And that's what she did to herself when she came out against Jason. Because now look at all the people, look at all the votes Jason brought out last time for county commissioner. If Ben Weber can get half those people to vote for him, he's got a good chance.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. The question was brought up, and I think this is an interesting question right now. The question was brought up on Saturday night during the Facebook Live that when I did the story on her finances back in January, so a little over a month ago. What's that?
When you hijacked her. Oh, no, you blackmailed her.
Blackmailed her, yeah.
Blackmailed.
When that whole story came out, that was all about her finances. And the story is still there on the WGH Facebook page. If you read that story, there is no implication, there is no accusation against her, there is nothing in that. That is as flat a story as you could put out there.
It's information is all it is.
It's information. But she got very agitated about that story, clearly, and tried to come after me in that thing.
Aligned with your enemies to do that. That's the type of person that she is.
Right, but
quote-unquote enemies. Their enemies in their own mind, not yours.
Right, but to come after me because of that story, and why did that, and she even released a statement at that point about it, and I thought, well, who's accusing you of anything? Nobody's accusing you of anything. We're saying this is the money you've raised, this is what the job pays, and here it is. Okay.
Did you ask her to explain it before you said anything about it? Well, that was the blackmail part of it.
That was the blackmail that I sent her a message, and I said, hey, I've got a story, somebody gave it to me, I've checked it out, it is true, I'm coming to you off the record before I run with this story, but I'm just letting you know, whether you comment or not, I am going to run the story, essentially is what I said, and that somehow turned into blackmail and so on and so forth. But then when Ben Weber brought up this same issue a month later, she got very angry again and went after Ben Weber. So if this is just what she says it is, if this is just her raising money or self-funding, I guess is what she's saying, what's the big deal?
I like the caller who says, and it actually popped into my head a few times over the weekend for different scenarios, federal, state, and local. If you always tell the truth, you never have to remember your story. That's my take on it, but if you always tell the truth, you never have to remember what you're supposed to say. And the things that we're being expected to believe, I'm just glad that people are waking up. I'm sorry it's taking rape cases that are... to do this, and you know, with Weslin, she aligned herself early, and the people that she's aligning herself with might not be I don't know. It's all a mess. And now I'm just kind of sitting back and watching the chaos unfold. It's not like I didn't call any of this was going to happen, but I think it's pretty sweet with what Wesleyan did to Jason now, and watch how that's going to come back and bite her in the behind.
Well, I just think when that story came to be, and she never even asked what the story was, when I went to her and said, listen,
that's the insane part, that she never even asked you what it was.
No. No, and that's what is so strange to me, because, you know, when you go to somebody privately and say, by the way, and it's not like Wesleyan and I
wonder what other stories out there that haven't been told yet.
Well, I don't know about that, but here's what I will say. It's not like Wesleyan and I were strangers. I mean, in the prior 6 months, she'd been on the show 4 times. I had had dinner with her.
We were useful. She aligned herself with you, and she knew you had a big audience, and she knew that you would have a big impact.
Right.
Now,
but
the thing about your show is the results aren't immediate. You can't see how many views that were had. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get the metrics like you do from the page that she's aligned herself with that is all exclusively friendly to her, whereas your audience is varied, and she might pick up people that aren't exclusively friendly to her. What she needs.
Right, but I you know, it wasn't like we hadn't had off-the-record conversations.
Yeah, you were friendly, and
right.
She betrayed you.
Right.
That's another reason why I wouldn't vote for her.
Well, but it's
betrayed you, too.
But it's so strange that when I say, Wesleyan, somebody's given me a story, I've got a story, I forget what the wording exactly was, I'm going to run it either way, but I want to get your comment before I do. That alone, that she didn't just say, what's the story? You know, I don't
right.
understand why
no,
that shook her so.
Turned on you.
Yeah, but, I mean, if she had said, what's the story, I would have given her the story. And she could have said, I'm self-funded. And that would have been the comment in the story. So she made that a much bigger drama than it needed to be.
What's that tell you about her?
Well, I don't know.
She reminds me of a 15-year-old cheerleader. We used to have a group full of them, and oh, they are catty, and they will stab each other in the back, and they are not loyal, but when they're out there cheering, they're all together, and rah, 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 we're a team. You give them a second to get away from each other, I hate her. Look at her. Be my friend. We can do this together. If we make this alliance, I'm telling you, that's exactly what she reminds me of, and that's probably why I haven't liked her from the minute I heard the first word come out of her mouth.
Well, and I think that going after, but it, you know, my little thing
and
was
the Jason thing. And you. She's not loyal. She has no loyalty whatsoever. Loyalty is a highly sought-after trait in me.
Well, it's unfortunate because, as I said before, I have nothing bad to say about her. And because she is a candidate, if she has to come on...
I have nothing good, so that makes us a great couple.
Well, there we go. But I would say, if she has to come on tomorrow, I would give her a fair interview. It would be fine. I have nothing against her. But I think that
come on, Wesleyan. Come on and tell us. Talk to us.
But
that's
I just think it's fascinating that every time this money has become the big thing in her campaign that she sees as a negative. And apparently Ben brought it up. And when I brought it up, and by the way, as I said before, I did not dream that story up. Somebody did come to me. I mean, I'm not going to say who because you protect your sources. But somebody came to me and said, hey, do you realize this? And I said no.
Funding is apparently her Achilles heel. So.
Well, you know, we're going to take a break. This is going by. We're going to take a break. Continue to listen because there's a lot more to talk about. We'll keep going here.
Take care, Scott.
Okay, we'll be back after this short but important break.
Think, my goodness, this person said that. This person said that. Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it